pass on to Nick to introduce the agenda paper 21A and exciting continuation of discussion on management performance measures. Over to you, Nick.
Thank you. Hello. So yes, continuation in this paper 21A. So we follow on from the last paper where we were discussing exploring expanding the scope of the management performance measure requirements. Now, in the last discussion, we discussed that there was a strong message in the feedback from stakeholders that there are measures other than those that we've defined in the exposure draft's definition of management performance measures that provide useful information and that would benefit from additional discipline and transparencies, and that would be helpful. But the challenge that we identified also was that there was a balance in meeting that demand with an equally strong demand from many stakeholders, including users, to deliver the proposals in this project on a timely basis. And so this paper starts from that point that these are measures that would be useful to provide additional discipline and transparency over, but then explores what would it take, what work would be required to put in place the guidance to address those measures, to include them within the management performance measures scope. And as we'll get on to, in most cases, the staff believe that the work that would be required to do that would present problems in delaying the existing proposals, and therefore we have in most cases not recommended continuing to explore expanding the scope into those measures. So while there's a degree of overlap, we have the paper analyzes non-GAAP measures within a number of groups. And so I'd like to take the discussion of the questions in each of those groups, as I appreciate while there's overlap, some board members may have differing opinions depending on the group of measures. And so it's useful, I think, to talk about each separately. And so if I start off with the questions 1 and 2 for the board, which are on page 11, and deal with those measures that are based on the statement of financial performance that are not included within the exposure draft scope. We deal with two types of measures. The paper talks about subtotals of income and expenses that are included only in ratios, and those that are measures based on a line item in the statement of financial performance. And so for those measures that are subtotals of income and expenses, we're dealing with those measures that would otherwise meet the definition that we have now of management performance measures, but would be excluded when they're used only in a ratio. And the paper explains how we think that these are subtotals that were envisaged within the exposure draft definition that communicate performance, and therefore including them would give a more complete population. And in doing so, we haven't identified any additional risks or complexities that would be involved in doing that. And therefore, the staff are recommending that if a numerator or a denominator of a ratio meets the definition of a management performance measure, that numerator denominator should be included within the scope. Now, for measures based on line items in the statement of financial performance, again, we've identified minimum complexities and risks with these. However, we also think there is likely minimal incremental benefit in including them. And that's because a measure based on a line item in the statement of financial performance would generally be included within a subtotal that includes that line item, and therefore the transparency and discipline provided by the exposure draft are already provided for most of those measures. And so for those measures, the staff are recommending not to explore expanding the scope of management performance measures to include measures based on line items in the statement of financial performance. So I'd like to stop there and turn over to the board to discuss these measures based on the statement of financial performance and whether we should go ahead with exploring any of those and including them in the scope.
Okay, Tom. Tom, you're on mute, I'm afraid. You still cannot be heard. Do you want to sign in again and then I give you the floor later? Okay. Jen Chao.
Thank you, Hans. First, I appreciate staff bringing this paper to us. I think I like the analysis and approach, particularly looking at the benefits, complexity, and risks, those three elements to help us to decide you know, which performance measures, measures should be included in the scope of the management performance measures. I think that is the right direction. And particularly, I agree that the management performance measure, the scope of MPM at this stage should be focused on those performance measures based on a statement of financial performance, not to expand further to other financial statements. So general direction, I agree. But in terms of question one and two, let's first I comment on question one about, you know, a numerator or denominator, whether there is a ratio, but one or a numerator or denominator in whether they include, they meet the definition of MPM and they should be included in the scope of management performance measures. But I think this recommendation let me think about three scenarios. One scenario is that if first scenario is that both numerators and denominators meet the definition of MPM. So in this case, obviously, either numerator and denominator, we are going to ask them because they meet the definition of MPM. So they will disclose both information. But I feel a little bit surprised because the ratio as a whole will not meet the definition of MPM, and will not be in the scope of the in the scope of MPM. It's a little bit surprised. If both of them meet the definition of MPM, I think logically they should be in the scope of management performance measure. So this is first scenario. The second scenario is either numerator or, you know, denominator, one of them meets the definition of management performance measure. Obviously, we said that that either, you know, a numerator or denominator will be included in the management performance measure, but the whole ratio will not be included in the scope of management performance measure. I also feel sometimes a little bit surprised because if one of the elements meets the definition of MPM, it's very difficult to justify the whole ratio could not be included in the management performance measure. But I understand that there are difficulties because maybe another one part of the ratio, you know, should be expanded to the other item, other performance measures, including other statements of financial performance. But in this case, I think we can explore whether we would like to ask those companies to provide reconciliation information for both or only for that numerator or denominator which meets the definition of MPM we defined in our scope, our project. I think we can explore, but I think logically, I also think the ratio could be included in the management performance measure. So this is the first comment I have on the question one. In terms of question two about those line item rather than subtotal and the totals, the staff recommend not to spend further to include those line item in the management performance measures. But when I look at the analysis, particularly at the benefits, risk, and the complexities, the only concern we have is about the potential complexities. Because first, I think first we needed to change the definition, and then we needed to develop additional guidance on what kind of reconciliation information we needed to require company to disclose. But in this case, I don't think there are a lot of complexities because we can only require them to disclose those adjusted line item to, you know, to those most directly comparable line item. I think it should be much easier than those subtotal and totals. And in terms of the potential duplication concerns, obviously it could happen. For example, the example you're giving, for example, some companies disclose the adjusted revenue, and in the meantime, disclose the adjusted operating profit MPM. But in this case, I think we can develop some kind of criteria requirement, say that if the company disclose the both MPM, and they only will be only be required to disclose one of them, particularly in this case, only will be required to disclose the reconciliation information in relation to the adjusted operating profits, because that reconciliation information will include the reconciliation information of adjusted revenue. So I think the company will avoid this kind of duplication complexities. So I question one and two combined together, I think if possible, we can explore a little bit further to expand the scope of MPM a little bit further. But those performance measures would still be, you know, based on the statement of financial performance mainly.
Okay, thank you, Jianqiao. Tom, would you like to try again? Still not. There must be something wrong with your equipment. What if you just remove your headset completely, take it out? No, it doesn't make a difference. Okay, well, let's try again later. See, perhaps you can find out what's going on. Tadeu.
Thank you, Hans. And thank you, the staff, for preparing this paper and bringing for discussion. In relation to question one, considering the staff recommendation in paragraph 27 combined with what we said in paragraph 29, I understood the ratio itself would not be an MDM, the scope of the proposal. Assuming I understood this correctly, I'm wondering whether the MPM that is used as numerator or denominator should be put into the context if this is used only on this ratio. I mean, if this MPM is not used in isolation, I mean, that's just there in the ratio, but it's not used standalone. Without putting this into the context, why this is being used in the ratio, it seems that the information would be incomplete. I understood that the ratio would not be in the scope, but still think that it should provide some kind of information. The ED requires management to explain why that MPM communicates their view. Therefore, they will need to explain that this is used in a ratio. And again, not providing further information about the ratio sounds incomplete. It would be a hard task, if not impossible, to explain the MPM and not the ratio in this kind of situation. And extending the problem to when both numerator and denominator, I think that Jianqiao touched on this one, if both meet the definition of MPM, management will also need to provide explanation about the MPM and the fact that they are there because they are used in the ratio. Again, not providing explanation about the ratio in which the MPMs are used would make the information, in my view, incomplete. I agree with the proposal of not including ratios, but if we are going ahead to include also MPMs that are used in ratios only, not used in isolation, we should require a reasonable explanation about the ratio, and at the same time, not bringing this ratio into the financial statements. Otherwise, we would need to provide the complete information about the ratio, including any part of it that does not meet the definition of MPM as it is explained in the paper. This will likely require the expansion of the definition. I know that. That's why I would not recommend it. And if simply providing a, let's say, narrative explanation about the objective of the ratio without entering into the details gets too complicated, I would simply not include these MPMs. when they are used in ratios only and come back to the original scope. This is for question one. On question two, that's on line items, I agree that we should not expand the scope to include additional measures based on the line items presented in the statement of financial performance. But in many cases, it can take the form of a simple breakdown of the line item, and therefore it could be included in financial statements anyway, probably not in the MPM note, to avoid this being characterized as an MPM, and therefore would not need to provide a reconciliation, for example, to any subtotal. One very common example that we have, it's same store sale, can take the form just a mere breakdown. You have the revenue, you just break down the revenue. It's not necessarily MPM, although it is a way of performance measure. As we touched on the individual line item, it would be important to comment on the base for conclusion to make a distinction between what would be just the breakdown line of the line item and an MPM in the meaning of the proposal. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tadeu. Tom, I see you have found a phone, and are you ready to intervene now? You may have seen that it has been suggested by Simon to restart your computer, but you can do that later if you are ready to talk now.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, it's perfect.
Okay. I agree with, I think, both of Q1 and Q2. I did have kind of a question because I thought it was interesting on Q1 that the staff referred to if you had another item in the ratio that is also and not included, it's a non-IFRS, talked about possibly doing an explanation. And my question to the staff is if we go ahead with this, which I think this is a reasonable thing to do, would you want to incorporate something about these circumstances where one of the elements is a MPM that qualifies for an MPM set of disclosures, and one element is a non-IFRS, non-MPM? And what would you, like, what is your plan to do with that? Because I thought that was important.
Does the staff want to react or?
Yes, if I might. So
yes,
I think on this question, yes, thank you. So we've tried to address this question when we spoken about ratios specifically. And I think in principle, we agree that there's good information that's there. But we tried to explain that we think that there's
So is Nick cutting out for everybody, or is it just me? Yeah.
He's frozen.
He's frozen. Nick, you're frozen.
Additional complication.
Nick, you were frozen. We couldn't hear you. Why don't you take away the video and just sound and try again?
Let's see. Is that?
No, it's not.
Thank you.
Really.
Is that not really? Okay.
Yeah. No, you've had the problem the whole session, really. Well,
I think Nick is. Yeah, I think Nick is basically saying we have more discussion about this when we come to the ratios, and I think we will cover this again when we come to ratios. So shall I suggest we perhaps move on? Now.
Yeah, okay. Sue?
Thanks, Hans. So I agree with the recommendations the staff has on questions one and two. Just a few thoughts. And I might come back to this first point later, but I think the beauty of the clarity of what we intended, I think, in the proposals was even though we use this word performance, for me, our sort of clear anchor is that we're talking about subtotals of income and expense. And I think that what we could do with this expansion in question one is make the point that if you've got a ratio where either the numerator or the denominator is comprised of a subtotal of income or expense that's not that's, you know, a management performance measure as defined, then you're in scope. You don't have to talk about whether it's a ratio about performance per se. So it's sort of, for me, a natural extension of where we were in the exposure draft, and I support that because I think we had a lot of examples of, you know, ratios that were very relevant and very closely connected with those subtotals that would make sense to include. And it's not, it's a relatively natural extension of what we had proposed. I also agree with your recommendation on the second point, not to move all of the way to individual line items. For me, I think it will be important to achieve what we're intending. And the analysis that the staff did is sort of on the basis that if somebody produces a subtotal which has got one of these adjusted line items as a component of it, it's already included in scope. And so that's capturing most of these adjusted line items. For me, I think it will be important in our communication to make it clear that even if somehow somebody's not using words like adjusted operating profit or adjusted net profit or adjusted whatever, or some words that indicate that there's been tinkering with numbers, if you've got a subtotal which has got within it a line item which is not calculated sort of in accordance with IFRS, for want of better words, then you are in scope. We're not using as our anchor the word adjusted or something associated with the subtotal. It's what's within it that's driving the fact that it needs to come in scope, because then I think we'll capture the population that's implicit in the staff recommendation, which is pretty comprehensive. And we're not missing much information. But I just don't want people to be able to avoid this by pretending that it's just a normal subtotal. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sue. Bruce?
Thanks very much, Hans. So for much of the reason others have given, I don't have a problem with question one. I mean, I'm comfortable with the staff's proposal there. Question two, however, I've got a slightly different view on. And I think it's maybe the kind of thought process and paradigm I've got when I look at these MPMs. I mean, to start off with, to me, MPMs is, when it comes to performance, this is management's ability to tell a story. Okay, it's their ability to turn around and say how they're reporting on performance. I think that what we've originally put into the exposure draft, I'm very comfortable with. So we've said, yes, there are subtitles, we're putting these in, and we all know what's within the ED, so I'm comfortable with that. What my thought process is to start off with, people don't put line items or other subtotals into the P&L because they just think it's a good idea. These are generally well thought out, what management believe need to be there, and in their minds is important in terms of reporting their performance. If they are therefore requiring to use part of this as something that would fall into an MPM outside of that, that's clearly management's view of performance. So that's clearly a metric that management are using to report the performance that they believe that they believe is important. They're using it publicly, whatever it may be. This is something they're using. So we're within the constraints of the performance reporting, and I accept we're within that there. I'd be comfortable in allowing people to use those as MPMs because I think they are within the kind of income statements. What we're saying, it's if you're using one of those other metrics and something you clearly believe is communicating to your stakeholders that this is an important factor for them to take into account. And so in question two, I probably wouldn't be as opposed to allowing people to extend that as some have been. The other thing is just going through the paper. I mean, yes, I do think that is there a duplication error risk? Yes, there is, but I think we can look at that and we can work around that. The other thing is that I think that, yes, we would need to provide some guidance, but that doesn't make me uncomfortable. I think a lot of the guidance would be generic to, if you are using something outside of what we'd initially assessed, this is what we expect you to give. So I'm not necessarily convinced that because we need to put the additional guidance in my mind would be a fact of saying I think that's an insurmountable hurdle. I think at the end of the day, we could put guidance around that would allow people to use those different line items within that to report those as MPMs. As I said, to me, the whole concept of MPMs is exciting because this is the way management are viewing their performance. So I can understand question part one, happy that part two, I would have supported exploring going a bit further on that. Thank you.
Mary?
Thanks, Hans. Let me start with a big picture comment, which a couple of them. One is, I think the staff has gone about doing the follow-up analysis on last month or the months before report appropriately. You've considered the right factors, and I think you've grouped things well. So, overall, I'm commenting within the framework of our analysis. And another big picture comment is throughout our discussions here, I'm going to be very much on the maintain mission focus, avoid scope creep. And I am not making, and I'm not suggesting that the board is making any value judgments or comments about the appropriateness or the usefulness of measures that fall outside the scope of what we are discussing as management performance, defining as management performance measures. But I have a couple of reasons for this, and they are implicitly and explicitly discussed by the staff in your analysis. Even if we are responding to feedback that we got on the ED, I think if we expand the scope in any meaningful way, we significantly increase re-exposure risk, which is a big risk for the project as a whole. And I say that because this is a new area, and I think there's a lot of overlap and interplay with regulatory requirements, particularly capital market requirements, securities markets regulator requirements. So I think even if it's, if something seems like not that big a leap forward, it could make the project feel very different to others who are commenting, and I think it could raise that risk generally. Now, in terms of the two proposals that the staff has in question, covered in question one and two, I support both of the staff recommendations. I think in some ways the ratio point, if we limit it as the staff has proposed to if either or both of the numerator and the denominator meet the definition of management performance measure, then they should be treated as an MPM and subject to that. It might feel, and I think both Tadeo and Jin Zhao raised this point, it may feel artificial if both the numerator and the denominator are considered to be MPMs to say that the ratio is not. But I think we need really understandable boundaries, and it would be too difficult to set out and explain why in this case and not in this case and what the requirements are. And it just takes me back to, which is now very far, to my days as an auditor and sitting and doing what in the States we called comfort letters. And the point, people would say to me, well, you're an accountant, you give comfort on the division in the calculation. I'm like, the ratio itself is not from the financial reporting system. You also have a calculator. You, investment banker, underwriter, can, check the mathematics of the ratio calculation. So I think we have to be really disciplined and go back to our focus on performance measures and essentially adjusted subtotals in the statement of performance, which is why I support the admittedly narrow approach that the staff has given in question one. And for question two and line items, I think it's a really good insight about how we expect that many of the adjusted line items would in effect be covered in management performance measures in which they're included. But when Tadeo raised the specter of same store sales, again, that starts getting us into a very different territory. While it is an adjusted revenue number, it's adjusted based on locations that have been considered to be up and operating in both periods being reported on, and that starts to get into operating detail that I think just becomes too difficult to figure out how we address here. And I think the risk to a valuable project overall outweigh the benefits, especially because we are not precluding entities from providing this information to investors, and we're not condemning use of those measures. We're just saying they're outside the scope of what we define as MPMs that are subject to our requirements. So it's a much more neutral statement that we're making than some may perceive it. So support the staff recommendations. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mary. I agree with what you said. Let the ideal not be the enemy of the good. I would really hate this project to get adrift on, you know, as we would be, might not be able to contain it if we expand the scope. Rika.
Thank you. And then I also agree with staff recommendation in terms of the Q1 and Q2, and especially about Q1 question. I truly think I'm deeply disagree with the exploration of a ratio that has either numerator or denominator meets the definition of MPM. I think this exploration will result in asking the staff to further look at all types of measures and information that can be either numerator or denominator of ratio. So I don't think this is where we need to pursue within this project. But I would like to ask the staff to consider how the entity can include and disclose only one component of ratio within the financial statement when I'm, because I have a sympathy with what Tadu mentioned about the inclusion of the incomplete information in the financial statement. So without raising such misconception, how we can do with this staff proposal, I would like to see a little bit more in the future. Thank you.
Okay, Anne.
Thanks, Hans. I agree with the staff proposals in question one and question two. My comments would align with the comments that Mary has made or Sue has made about the focus on the performance statement and the subtotals. And I think it's very difficult to draw the boundaries. So I think that we have to stay very disciplined and narrow so as not to risk the whole project. In terms of line items, of all the MPMs that I've looked at and the composition of those MPMs, I agree with the staff that if there's this adjustment on a line item, it's going to get picked up in a subtotal. So I believe we're going to cover it. So I agree with this, what the staff have said there. And I just agree with the other speakers on who want to keep it narrow. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Anne. Françoise.
Thank you, Hans. Well, I mean, I regard the two questions raised, one and two, as being normal with deliberations of our proposal, and I do not qualify them as being expansion of the scope. And I welcome them both. In relation to numerators or denominators that are would meet the definition of MPM, I think the I welcome them in, and I would expect that the disclosure does not explain why the ratio has been selected by management, but why in that ratio the numerator or denominator had to be adjusted, had to be different from an IFRS subtotal to make the thing meaningful. So I think we are really still in the same remit than what we had proposed. And regarding the line items, in abstraction, I was in favor of including them, but I have considered the analysis of the staff and being convinced by it that in fact where it would add benefit would be in not so many circumstances. So I think we're better off not including them.
Thank you, Françoise. And Nick?
Thanks. I feel like questions one and two are the appetizer, really, here. I think clearly in terms of question one, there is utility in including the denominator or the numerator, if it would have been an NPM in its own right, into the proposal. So I support that. Question two, I find is more finely balanced. I feel there would be some utility, though it feels a little marginal to me. I hear what Bruce says, that yes, this is management wanting to tell its story, and if it's important, let's say if they want to adjust the revenue line. But if that adjustment to revenue is so important, I'd expect it to be falling through to its adjusted operating profit number. And if it doesn't, I'd question perhaps why it was so important. So I think I feel actually much more nuanced on that one. But certainly I'd support the staff in terms of question one and their recommendation there.
Thank you, Nick. Zach?
So I'll keep my comments brief. I would agree with the staff on recommendation or question one and the recommendation implicit there on including that. On two, I do think we're losing a subset of adjustments that might be important. Not all companies believe in presenting adjusted operating profit or adjusted earnings, but they do want to highlight and demonstrate the effect certain line items of different accounting treatments on different line items. So a great example is companies might like to show adjusted COGS for acquisitions. So they don't present an adjusted operating profit, but they do want to show what step down accounting did to their margins so that analysts can model it correctly going forward. And that's a subset of adjustments we would lose. And so that's a value adjustment, a value statement on whether those are worth including or not. I would probably fall on the side of including them, but I do recognize it is a more narrow one, and so it's a lesser item. But I think we're probably going to have more differences is in the following, so I'll reserve my comments for those.
Okay. Martin?
Yeah, thanks, Hans. I missed a part of the discussion, so maybe I asking something that others have already asked. With this question one, I agree with the staff that we should include if then the numerator or denominator has this kind of management performance measure. But my question is, let's assume, for example, we have an adjusted return on equity. The equity number then is, I think, not required to do a reconciliation and not be audited the reconciliation. But I think at least we need a kind of explanation then what kind of, then my example, equity number is used, because people can use, maybe can have a misinterpretation that people maybe think it is an IFRS equity number, but maybe it is a regulatory equity number. And at least I think if we don't require that kind of reconciliation, but at least we need an explanation what kind of this number is about and what is the basis for that? I think at least, because otherwise I think people would be confused, because one half of the ratio is reconciled and the rest is, I think, not achieved. And that was, I think, what our biggest proposal is, that users want to have a kind of better understanding of where this number come from. And then we have it only part, because maybe only the numerator is reconciled, but the denominator not. So we need something for the part of the ratio which is then not audited and not have a proper reconciliation to a closest IFRS number. Thanks.
Thank you, Martin. Jen Chao.
Thank you, Hans. Yeah, just to come back, I think including, you know, numerator or denominator in the scope of NPM, I support. What I concern, as Martin and Tadi also said, that because those companies actually prepare the ratio, you know, at the first stand. So how to help, how to require those companies to disclose the complete picture to the users, this is really my concern. Whatever the ratio will be included or not, but I think at least this kind of complete information, how can make sure they will be available for users and they will be audited also by the auditors as well. So this is really my concern. Logically, it should be consistent, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Jen Chow. So I think we are ready to vote. Can I see who supports question one? And question two?
10.
All right.
Sorry, Nelly, I did support question one. I should have put my hand up. Apologies, I got it wrong.
Okay, so that would be 12 on question one.
Okay, so can the staff continue? I don't know if Aida will.
Yes, I've changed my network, so hopefully that works a little bit better. So yes, thank you for that. I will.
This is much better. Yeah.
Perfect. So I will continue on then to the next question. I think a couple of questions I just note have been brought up about disclosures around ratios, and maybe if we defer that to when we talk about ratios specifically, we can address those, as Aida, I think, was mentioning when I got cut off there. But so to move on to question three, which deals with which is on page 15 and deals with the statement of cash flows. So I think in the cash flow statement, this gives us a good example of a measure that users are telling us is useful and could benefit from more transparency because of its diverse calculation. And specifically, as the paper addresses, I'm talking about here, free cash flow. Now, we know also some users see free cash flow as a measure of performance, and looking at management performance measures as measures that communicate management's view of performance, some may see this as being included in the definition or at least contributing to what the management performance measures are trying to achieve. However, as the paper explains, we see complexities and risks in developing guidance for such measures and in the testing and the consulting on that guidance. And that would require significant time and resources that we think could significantly delay the delivery of the project proposals. And in particular, we're talking about complexities that would be involved in developing guidance on reconciling such measures, or in trying to carve out something like free cash flow or something that tries to deal with just the performance aspect, as that would require us to go into developing definitions around potentially what performance is in this context, or pinning down a specific definition around what free cash flow is. And as we know, it's quite diversely calculated. So based on these complexities and the additional time that would be required, the staff has recommended not to explore expanding the scope of management performance measures to be included based on measures that would be based on the cash flow statement. So with that, I'd like to turn it back over to the board to discuss the measures based on the cash flow statement.
Okay, Françoise.
Thank you. Well, on this and the following, I very much agree with what Mary and have said already. And so we are in the area of expanding the scope of our project. I can see and I can relate to how useful this would be to users. However, as Nick has said in his introduction, I think we are due to deliver what users are expecting that we do swiftly, which is to deliver the improvement that this project as defined in its original scope is to deliver. So I'm sympathetic to what we could have achieved in expanding the scope, but I don't think that's the proper decision to make today, having in mind the needs of users.
Jen Chow.
Thank you, Hans. I think I have similar views as Francois has said, that I agree that those information related to cash flows, for example, performance measures on free cash flow are really useful to users, but I think it's beyond the scope of this project, which particularly focus on improving the statement of financial performance. So I agree with staff's recommendation. I think this issue could be addressed in our potential, you know, project, which included in the third agenda consultation. Thank you.
Thank you, Zhen Xiao. Rika.
Thank you, Hans. I think requiring the entity to include a further measure that are not defined by the IFRS standards had significant impact in the practice. And I think introducing more measure on that basis had risk to increase the inclusion of the incomplete information within the financial statement. So in order to avoid it, one way I think we can make the scene is probably as similar as what we've already done for the NPM proposed in the exposure draft. So enhancing the structure of the statement of cash flows. In that case, maybe the same benefit of NPMs within the scope in the exposure draft will be provided, but that is not the current scope of the our project at this moment. And then if the structure is not so strong as what we expect, another thing we can consider is probably we consider the defining the measure by the standards, but that also not within the scope of this project. So considering that, I have a more concern about the expansion of NPM to include commonly used measure like free cash flow, because without defining it and without sufficient strong structure of the statement, I think that information can mislead the user to understand what type of the adjustment are supposed to be included within that measure, especially if the information is used digitally. So I really strongly support the recommendation on the paper. Thank you.
Thank you, Rika. Sorry, Tom, I skipped you. Let's see if your connection is good now.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, wonderful. Although I think Bruce also was in, but maybe I'll just go because who knows, it may disappear.
Go ahead.
So I have a number of comments here. I think this is a very important decision because we did receive a lot of feedback from people saying that they ought to be expanded. And they gave a number of reasons, not including the fact that these things are often presented as a collective, and we'll be splitting the collective in two if we keep some of them out. So the current status is free, and I'll use free cash flow as my key item to illustrate. So it's a very frequently presented measure. It's similar to the MPMs that relate to the statement of financial performance in that it is currently being reconciled under various regulations across many jurisdictions. So the cash flow items are currently being disclosed and they're treated similarly. It's not a radical innovation relative to what we have already agreed to include in MPMs. It's an incremental addition. It can rely on similar evidence for its efficacy and costs. And virtually all the same benefits we've claimed would be available if we did free cash flow. And these benefits, I think, are large. There's a strong interest in this. And it's a long existing request. I went back and looked at, there were a lot of people wrote about this stuff prior to us putting it onto the project. And I reviewed two CFA documents that were published in 2016. These are, for anyone interested, investor uses, expectations, and concerns on non-GAAP financial measures and bridging the gap, ensuring effective non-GAAP and performance reporting. They did a number of surveys and analysis, and it led them to the conclusion that non-GAAP financial measures, especially free cash flow, should be brought within financial statements. Kind of illustrate the strength of the support, 55% of those surveyed thought that standard setters should define key subtotals, with only 28% opposed. We've done this in the project. That's a 2-to-1 ratio. There was even stronger support, however, for enhanced disaggregation and classification of the cash flow statement, 67 to 18%, better than 3-to-1. And while we can't do classification, that would be a bigger project, and that may be coming, we can do this disaggregation one. Further, in the survey of the performance measure, free cash flow was the most often cited by analysts as useful. 75% of the respondents cited free cash flow. So there's strong demand that the benefits that can be gained from inclusion of alternate performance measures in financial statements be extended to free cash flow. I think with respect to the risk that this could increase stakeholder demand, I think when we get our agenda review, we'll be able to assess stakeholder demand. If it's strong, we should consider a project. If not, but I don't think that should affect whether you include it in the MPM or not. With respect to complexities, again, because this is so similar in that it exists, it's being reconciled and so on, I don't see that these are large. Can we assess if it's used in a public communication? That should be easy. Can it be argued that it complements other subtotals or totals? I think it would be just as easy to justify this as it would be for the other ones. Does it communicate a view of management's view of performance? Well, to the same degree that management put these other ones into public communications, they're currently putting this one. And I think it's easy to get to the fact that it's a management view. So we have really strong demand both before we started the project and during the project. I don't think it would be that costly to do so. If we don't do so, we will leave these things split and it will be a very long time before we do. I think there is a legitimate question of whether this could lead to re-exposure, but I don't know that we should prejudge it. First of all, it's not obvious to me that it would lead to pre-exposure for the reasons I've given, because there is so much similarity to what we are bringing in. And secondly, re-exposure is something that happens at the end of the process, and we will need to look at all of the changes and decisions we made when we go to re-exposure. And to be honest, if we got to that point and everyone said, this will necessitate a re-exposure, I'm not saying it would, but they said that, and this was the only one, I would probably say, okay, let's let it go rather than re-expose. However, we have no idea whether we'll be re-exposing or not at this stage. We have a whole series of decisions to make. And suppose one of the other ones triggered re-exposure, then there would be no delay cost from including this one in a consultation. And so it prejudges all these other ones. And I think some of them are going to be big. Even in April, I think the change we made to disaggregation is a substantive change. It'll be necessary to think about whether that might prompt re-exposure. And yet when we talked about that change, nobody said there's a danger of re-exposure. So I don't think that re-exposure should necessarily exclude things as we go through, especially if they're going to be big improvements. I think we could kind of reserve judgment, and if something would be a standalone cause re-exposure, then I'm with people and not doing it. But as I said, we don't know that at this stage. So I think given the extensive demand, we should think carefully about bringing in something that has been demanded for a while and I think could be done relatively easily.
Okay, thank you, Tom, for this very clear input. Nick.
Thanks, Hans. So let me start off with what I see as three extraordinary developments. So first of all, the extraordinary positive response to the proposals that we have already in the exposure draft. Given that the issue of MPMs nearly didn't make the cut at one stage in terms of our proposals, I think it's extraordinary that we had such a good response. Secondly, the second extraordinary area is that this isn't just about a user demand. the breadth of response from our stakeholders here is across all stakeholder groups in terms of asking to expand the scope. Three out of four of the large accountants firms, individual preparers, leading user and preparer groups, accounting bodies, regulators, national and regional standard setters, as well as academics. This is not solely asked from users. And the third thing, which I find quite extraordinary, is the kind of doom and downcast kind of response that we seem to be making to what we've heard out there. Now, I understand, I appreciate there's an issue around timeliness, but the reality is if we don't address these potential extensions today, is that measures, MPMs based on the cash flow statement, I doubt will impact users in terms of what they see at the end of the process for perhaps another 10 years. So there's another timeliness issue to be considered here. If I look at the detail in terms of what's in the staff papers and the reasons not to extend MPMs to cash flow statements, one reason that's flagged, a key one, is the diversity in terms of how free cash flow is calculated. Well, yes, surely that's the whole point. We need transparency around that. There are clearly anchor points for that in terms of items such as cash flow from operations, which would be a common anchor point. But yes, there is diversity. That's why people want to know how these numbers have been worked up. Secondly, these numbers are often disclosed. They do represent management's view of performance. May not be how we think about performance in our world, but clearly that is how management think about it. Thirdly, there are anchor points available for reconciliation. We already require a reconciliation of liabilities from financing activities. We're happy for that to be built on line items rather than subtotals. I don't see that then as being an impediment. Tax and NCI, it's a really straightforward issue just to say the tax and NCI requirements don't apply to cash flow based measures. So I think lots of those things that are in the paper, sure, I think there may be complexities, but I think they can be overcome. And then finally, really, just to think about a more macro point, and it's the issue about leverage in the financial system that Hans, you yourself often have talked about, and clearly there are concerns here. But what a better role could we have to play as standard setters towards contributing and helping financial stability and, you know, shining a light, a brighter light to bring transparency and discipline to measures of cash flow, i.e. what you have to service your debt and the debt as portrayed by management. I think this is an opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Bruce?
Thanks, Hans. That's been an interesting issue for me because many people remember that I was quite pro-extending the scope of this and was one of the people last month very supportive of the staff going out and doing the work that they've done and great work on this paper. Couple of things, observations I wanted to make about this. Firstly, I appreciate that there's a concern about re-exposure, but this is just a general comment that I've got. To me, that we're talking about how people report performance. This is such a big issue. I think this project is at such a level that I'd hate for us to get the wrong answer because we're worried about the re-exposure issue. And I accept it impacts the timeliness. But I mean, this is a standard that's going to materially impact how people report their performance going forward. So if we find that there are such material issues that we need to do that, to me, I don't necessarily, in my mind, that doesn't completely drive my decision-making. Second thing I wanted to say is I appreciate that there has been a call for free cash flows, and I appreciate that we got a lot of response to get some of those. But then I come to kind of where I think maybe I've moved a little bit away from what my initial thought process was. I would love for us to address this. I would love for us to really get into this and to look at I7, and even when we get a question 4, all these comments are kind of breached between both of those. I would love us to address it all. MPMs across the board, deal with everything. The problem is that even I'm prepared to accept that there's a point where if we don't have breakpoints in terms of what we want to achieve in financial reporting, we're going to spend the next 10 years discussing this project and never really get it out. And that would be my biggest concern. I made an initial comment when we started discussing the re-deliberations on this. I mean, I think the cash flow has got major issues. I really do. And I would love for us to pick it up as part of this because I do think it's part of performance. And I think it'd be great to do everything together and align the sections and all those things would be wonderful. We can't do that at the moment, because if we bring that into this project, we derail it. Secondly, we've got an agenda consultation out that says we're hopefully, and I'm really hoping, and appeal to anybody listening to make sure they get their comments in, but I'm really hoping we hear an honest answer out of people that this is something they want us to look at, and then we can pick it up. So I appreciate that there's a lot we should do, but on the other side, I am worried that we're going to lose a lot of the value that I do see within what we're doing here, if we try and expand this too much. So I guess where I've kind of got to is, and I'll say reluctantly, is I'm probably reluctantly saying I would probably support the staff's view on this, and even going into question four, because it's really the same issue in my mind. I'm supportive of the staff's view of putting these on hold. I put that with a caveat of saying the reason I would support that is because I'm hoping that these are projects we will get to pick up in the future. I'm hoping these are things that people will see as important, that we can eventually align, and we can deal with MPMs that fall into cash flows, and we can deal with that MPMs that fall into the balance sheet. As much as I would love us to pick those up, I just get concerned that the more and more, and having read through the staff's paper, the more and more we do push this, I just get worried that if we're trying to do everything in one project, sure, we're kind of just never going to get it out. So, yeah. So, as I said, I would, at this stage, probably support what the staff have put in question three. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce. Zach.
So, I also appreciate all the work the staff have done going into this. I think assessing the range of adjustments out there and looking at how they would fit into our framework is difficult work, and they've done a ton of it. And I appreciate that. I come to a different conclusion, though. My preference would be to view management performance measures as a vehicle for management to express their view, but to do it in a way that includes assurance, so that the market can rely on it. And certainly, I would support the inclusion of the statement of financial position, but I'm going to speak even more forcefully on the cash flow statement. And the reason for that is it doesn't suffer from some of the difficulties that the statement of financial position does. As Nick mentioned, we have defined subtotals here. We can easily scope out non-controlling interests and taxes. And most importantly, in our conceptual framework, the statement of cash flows is a financial performance statement. And yet we've scoped it out of our financial performance measurement standard. And that strikes me as odd. And I wasn't here from the very beginning, but I want to speak sort of forcefully in favor of it, because for most users, this is the most important information that they use to model going forward. For most preparers, it's one thing, or one of the most important things that they want to present and want to present their opinion on, but we're going to scope it out if we proceed with this recommendation. And I'd really suggest we not do that. I could accept not doing the statement of financial position, but I think a more limited inclusion of the cash flow statement could really go a long way in including most of the measures people care about. And that the incremental cost and complexity of the statement of financial position adjustments may be warranted. But here, I think it clearly is in the minds of most that are looking at the issue. And most of the things we've come to in terms of complexities have more to do with our internal mechanics than anything else. And it's worth spending the time to work through them in my mind. The risk of re-exposure is there. We have to accept it. But I think it's worth it in the end. So I would certainly push for this to be included, even if nothing else is.
Okay. Tadeo, is it your turn? I'm a bit confused here.
Go ahead.
Yeah?
No, let's go for Mary. I go after Sue.
Okay, Mary.
Okay. Same accent as Zach, different conclusion, however, in respect of the staff recommendations. I'm going to start with fragmentation, which he didn't raise or didn't raise explicitly, but others have. I I think the staff absolutely put their finger on the problem when they generically analyzed fragmentation. And the point is, if we draw any lines at all, there's always going to be a risk of fragmenting the discussion of non-gap measures between those that are MPMs and those that are not. And so I think we can't give that much weight in terms of thinking about how we define management performance measures. I think it's a valid concern, and I say with apologies to the staff, because the last thing they need is more suggestions or more work to do in this project. But I think thinking hard about how we explicitly discuss placement of this information and, you know, what I will call in American terms incorporation by cross-reference, if it's presented outside the financial statements but is considered to be part of the financial statements, is something that we may want to look at to reduce the strain from the risk of fragmentation. I'm not saying I have a desired outcome, but I think we should think about that. But I want to go back and put a spotlight on something that Rika said that I think is really important, and that is that our work on management performance measures was step two of a process that included step one, significant strengthening of the line items in the classification guidance in the statement of financial performance. And so once we had that improved structure of the basic underlying, you know, think of it as the skeleton, we can then deal with things that are entity-specific adjustments of our more comparable, more specific structure. We had an explicit decision not to do that, not to add improving the structure of the statement of cash flows as part of this project. Again, not because we think it's unnecessary or a bad thing, but just because we're trying to have mission focus here. And so I think it is building a house on sand, which is not a good idea, to think about trying to put in requirements that relate to cash flow measures if we haven't done the underlying kind of skeletal infrastructure work on the statement of cash flows. And I think we shouldn't let the desire to be kind of heroes delivering improvements undercut our project discipline. There are others who play in the space of supporting investors, and they can, you know, and I'm thinking of market regulators, and they can impose requirements, especially if we give them a model for our definition of management performance measures about what qualities they should have and what information should be provided. And so I think we don't have to feel like we're the only ones who can solve this. And I guess the last thing I'll say is Tom, I think, reminded us appropriately and importantly about how much these free cash flow measures in particular look and sound like the performance measures that are within the scope of MPMs. And while that's true, there is an important differentiation, which is the focus of this project is the statement of performance. It's not the statement of cash flow. And so even if they share many of those shared characteristics to me don't automatically justify bringing them within the scope of this project. So for all those and some other reasons, which I won't bore you with, I support the staff recommendations in these areas. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mary Sue.
Thanks, Hans. This is very difficult, and I think it's particularly difficult because we're talking about information needs that investors have raised not only investors, but importantly, investors. But we're also talking about, you know, what the best path is forward to deliver timely improvements in financial information. So I totally get why it would be useful to have some of these additional sets of information in financial statements with the rigor and discipline, but I think we do need to stay mission focused. And the thing that makes me hesitate here with particularly this expansion in the cash flow area is the comments included in the staff paper, which talk about some people see these as being aspects of performance. And it's exactly that that worries me. I think if you look back at what we're working on here, we're looking at requirements that are being introduced to improve discipline and transparency and shine lights on important sets of information. And so it's really important. Preparers, of course, want an opportunity to explain, but also we want to make sure it's done in a way which is robust enough that it protects investors from being not getting a full explanation of what the numbers mean. And because of that, we need to be really very explicit on scope. And as I said earlier in the discussion, I think what's nice about the proposals that we had in the exposure draft is that I think we can explain them in a very specific way by focusing on this idea of subtotals of income and expenses. From memory, we've already got quite a few comments in the responses to the exposure draft that because we use this words about explaining performance, people are asking, what does that mean? And when we get to that debate to flag to the staff, what I'll be suggesting is we focus much more on the fact that it's subtotals of income and expenses, because I think that's much more straightforward path to completion in terms of clarity of the scope of what we're talking about. If we move on to items coming from the cash flow statement, I think the next legitimate question is going to be, well, which metrics are now in scope? And I think that the sort of most natural extension would be to talk about performance, but that's a huge question in terms of what performance means. And I'm not sure that we're going to be able to finish to deliver these important improvements that everybody likes in the scope of what we had in the exposure draft on a timely basis if we open up big questions like that. So I'm not saying I don't think this is good information. I'm not even necessarily saying it's not something that we should work on, you know, very soon. But I just don't think we should risk completing the important proposals that we've got really good support for by expanding the scope in this particular project. Also, I think an important question which isn't covered in this paper, but I think it is going to be addressed in the future, I hope, talking to the staff here, is we're requiring particular disclosures with a particular scope. I think there's another important related question, which is, does that mean that people are allowed or not to actually choose to put in some additional disclosures about things which they might think are helpful to also understand performance? And so I'm not sure that for me, by requiring a particular subset, I'm necessarily saying I don't want or would not allow a bigger set of information to be provided if management thinks it's relevant information to explain their view of performance. But for now, I'd like to focus on the targeted population with the good transparency and robustness around it, building on the work in the exposure draft. So I wouldn't expand. So I agree with the staff's recommendation not to move on to cash flow based measures.
Tadeu.
Thank you, Hans. I agree with the staff recommendation and what Mary and Sue just said, and full support. I think that NPM is not a separate project. It is part of this PFS project with focus on statement of financial performance. And I believe that including NPMs based on the cash flow statement would go beyond the original scope of the project, as I have already said in a previous meeting. And I'm afraid it may compromise the delivery of the project in a reasonable time. And also indirectly, it takes resources from other projects that many stakeholders would not agree being deferred or delayed. Finally, I acknowledge the importance of these measures. And I think NPMs based on cash flows, even if there is some question whether it is a performance measure, is a very good project, but similar to what we are doing with the statement of financial performance in this project, I believe it would be better fitted into project on the review of IS7. Therefore, therefore I agree with the staff proposal. Thank you.
Okay, I think we are ready to vote on question three. Can I
think Martin,
we've got Nick and three? Martin. Nick wants to come back in and Martin wants to as well.
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry. Yes, please. So, Nick, if you would like to, you want to respond to Mary.
Yeah, very briefly. So Mary's absolutely right that a prerequisite for MPMs was bringing some structure to statements of financial performance. And we've done that. We've taken away the ambiguity from what those subtotals could mean. But actually, we've done that equally in the statement of cash flows by eliminating the options around dividends and interest. So now we do have consistent definitions for cash flow from operations, for instance. So I don't think that's an impediment to MPMs based on the cash flow statement. Thank you.
Okay. Martin, then finally.
Yeah, thanks, Hans. I also support staff recommendation because I think also that is out of scope. We have done this on the performance performance statement, and then it was okay, we have given more structure. Then there was a question, okay, what is if management sees performance differently? Now we have done it with a management performance measure, but was in the scope of what I see is kind of P&L performance statement. And if we do it now, because over the last year there were so many calls, people have said we should do work on the cash flow statement. We have never done it, but now we want to take time and staff resources to work on a management performance measure for a cash flow statement. I think that is the wrong timing. First, we should do maybe if we have time to do the cash flow statement, and then we should maybe then think, okay, about management performance measure in cash flow statements. But this would be the wrong order, and I think that is scope creep now with in kind of this project, and that would risk, I think, the focus which we have clearly said. And there was also earlier discussion in this project, we as a board decided we should not include cash flow statement, but now with the management performance measure of cash flow, we want to include it. I think that is not what I think we should do, and therefore I support staff recommendation. Thanks.
Okay, can I see who supports the staff recommendation in question three? Okay, Nick, you can continue.
Thank you. So I think as one board member at least pointed out that there's a lot of overlap here moving into the next section. We're in question four, which is on page 19, where we've asked about the measures based on the statement of financial position. And again, in this section, we have an example of a measure that is widely used and has come forward in some of the outreach, and that being net debt. Again, however, I think for many of the reasons that have been discussed quite widely with around free cash flows, we think that there is significant work that would need to be done around giving the guidance to deal with those measures. In the case of net debt, the paper points out in our research, we've come across a number of instances where companies will disclose currently information about net debt to comply with existing IFRS standards. And so we've identified an additional complication of trying to clarify how these things would interact, as well as the complexities around the reconciliations that we've talked about already. So I think similar to this previous population, the extent of that work that we think that would be required to provide these clarifications would be significant, and therefore the staff are recommending not to explore expanding the scope of management performance measures to include those measures based on the statement of financial position. So yeah, I'd like to turn it back to hear your views.
Okay. Who wants to come in? Does this mean we agree with the staff's recommendation? Can we vote, or is there anybody who would like to comment? No, let's then vote on question four.
Eleven.
Okay. then finally.
Yes, so we move finally to question five, which deals with ratios. And this is probably a good time to go back and talk briefly about the situation where we have a management performance measure that would be one part of a ratio that based on the previous decision would be now included as a management performance measure, but another part of a ratio that would not. And we have discussed this in this section of the paper. And while I think similar with the other aspects of this, where we see certainly there's benefits in getting additional transparency there, additional explanations, we've pointed out some areas where we think that there are added complexities in trying to make this guidance applicable in all situations. In particular, there's added complications with ratios in the fact that many entities will use things like physical measures, averages, measures that are not otherwise measures on their own. And so we think these complications would make it quite difficult to start to create specific disclosure guidance for a scenario where you have this mix, at least one that would work in all scenarios. And so we've recommended not going down this route and sticking. I think one board member made the comment earlier that I'd like to borrow that we've tried to draw a very clear line here with what we think should be included and excluded to avoid this issue of dealing with these complexities, and for very much the same reasons that not that we couldn't go down this route, but that the amount of time that we think it would take to deal with these complexities and to bring these additional disclosure requirements, particularly when these things can be, we can have very different kinds of combinations here because of the two parts to the measure. So we're very much trying to focus on the management performance measure requirements would apply only to the subtotals themselves, and therefore the requirements would be there. We do realize that would leave an information gap in some instances for the other part of that. So welcome feedback on that part. The remainder of the section talks about the additional complexities. I mean, these are really driven from the previous because they're made up of the measures that would be included in the other sections that we talked about. The same concerns apply. In addition to that, because we have two types of measures, there are questions around what guidance would be required to make sure they are on the same basis, and therefore that a ratio would be faithfully represented. And also the complication I've talked about physical measures. So again, based on those additional complexities, we're recommending here not to explore expanding the scope of management performance measures to include ratios. And I'd extend that comment to say, and also disclosure requirements. Again, I will discuss that a little bit further. So I'd like to turn it back to the board to discuss the ratio.
Okay, the floor is open. I think I see similar agreement as in question four. Oh, Jeja.
Thank you, Hans. Generally, I agree with staff's proposal not to expand the scope of MPM to include ratio. The only concern I have, as I mentioned in question one, is that in reality, for example, if based on our exposure draft, we are going to require entity to disclose all those MPMs in one location, in my understanding. So if, for example, if there is a ratio and both numerator and denominator meet the definition of MPM, so in the end, maybe those companies not only disclose, you know, both element, they will also disclose that ratio in the MPM location together. They will disclose those together. So I think we need to think about this in reality, how those entities will deal with this kind of practical issue, you know, because ratio will comprise both elements. So this is just the one. Generally, I agree with staff's proposal, but I think we should think about the practical issues may coming out.
Okay. Any other comments? No? Can I see who supports the staff's recommendation in question five? Okay. So that brings us to the end of this discussion.
Hans, could I make one further comment as a follow-up, please?
Oh, sorry, Nick. Yes, I didn't see you. Yeah. No. All right, please go ahead.
Sorry for interrupting. We have a number of jurisdictions where non-GAAP financial metrics or measures that won't qualify for our definition of NPMs are currently presented as part of their financial statements. That is just the reality today. I think it'd be helpful to provide some clarity here. So building on Sue's comments earlier, I wonder if we could encourage staff to bring back a paper to consider a permit but not require approach here, just so preparers know where they stand on this issue, potentially based on the principles for NPMs that we've already been defined. But I'm not sure we can be silent here given a situation that's clearly a common practice today in a number of jurisdictions. Thank you.
I see Sue nodding vehemently. So,
Nick's right, because people don't know whether we're saying that means they're not allowed to do it or they just don't have to do it. So I think it is an important question.
Can the staff bring this on board?
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to add, I think this is already on our list of things to address. We did have feedback in the comment letters asking the specific question from feedback, and so it is within our pre-deliberations plan to address specifically this question about what happens with these measures that are not captured within the scope.
Okay, thank you very much. We are well ahead of schedule. I suggest we take a lunch break till 1 o'clock and then finish up for today. Okay, thank you.